Hello and welcome to Techlandia. How are you doing? My pet Sammy coming to you in Portland. So we're going to continue to keep podcasting here because in four short days, we got 500 downloads. I can look at that much. And just because you download it, I know that doesn't mean really that you listen to it. And quite frankly, it was probably pretty bad because it was me by myself. Then you're thinking, gosh, are we going to continue Techlandia with just John? That's not really talent right there. He wasn't the talent. There are so many other talented people. So here's the if I had a drum roll sound effect, here's my drum roll sound effect. The podcast was so bad, it brought someone out of retirement, one of my near and dear friends. And we now have a co-host, and here he is, coming from the Southern California. He is
Scott Bedley.
Oh my gosh, it's Scott Bedley.
I thought I was just auditioning tonight, though.
No, you're not auditioning. You're in. So anyway, so there we go. So Scott Bedley said, John, that was a good try, but you need some talent. And I said, right, I do need some talent. I know this. So. Anyway, so Scott has agreed to come on. We'll just do whatever we want to. We don't even know if we'll call it Techlandia. But one thing we do know, as I introduced my first app, is that we are going to move to my first app after we do a few episodes. So we'll finish 2020 because 2020, it's been a struggle, right? Scott, has the struggle been real for you in 2020?
Yeah, absolutely, John. I was going to say, who's the first person that mentions like COVID, like there?
Yeah. It's hard to not mention COVID, but I did get a little appreciation for my rant from the first podcast because somebody said, yeah, why are we doing standardized testing? And you hit the nail on the head. Standardized testing and teacher evaluation should be canceled. And I said, okay, well, that's good. I know that I do have some insight. I might not have talent, but I've got some insight. At some point, but right,
I think it shows you whose lobby's a little bit stronger, the teachers association or the publishers.
Right, exactly. And we know who wins. We know who wins. It's money that wins. So
if we're doing the state testing and they could save a lot of money by not doing it.
But right, why would you do that? So anyway, but we're going to move this over. So we're gonna do the Podomatic for a little bit here. So the people that were, you know, still listening to Techlandia and were like, wait, what was that message that I just got? We're going to move over to Anchor. So you won't get those messages too much longer. And Anchor is my first app. Scott, have you used Anchor for podcasting?
John, believe it or not, I have used it for podcasting, but I use it for podcasting in my classroom.
Right. That's what I think it's good for, right?
Yeah. But instead of a live musical, we use Bad Wolf Press musicals. We just podcast it and recorded it. I put it into iTunes or into GarageBand and mixed it up and then put it into Anchor and then published it so families, they could share with their cousins and relatives all over the world who we didn't have to make costumes, which was awesome. And we could record it until it was done really well. So,
yeah, Anchor is just one of those things. It's very things that used to take, okay, so then, I mean, we'll act like we're super like old school edu podcast semi-famous people, and Scott's edu famous. I am just edu semi-famous. But when we were doing podcasting, what year would we say? Was it like 2012?
I think it was 2012, 2013. Like
right it was there. Right. One, it was pretty close
the
to
the turn
that.
Of the century.
Right, the turn of the podcasting century. So anyway, when you it was a lot. You'd have to use a service like Podomatic to kind of get your podcast going. And I had a lot of people ask me how to get podcasts going. Now you just use this Anchor is free, number one.
Right.
I think it is so easy. I have used it with students and just give them the run of the mill and show them how to use it. It's got sound effects in it. You keep the library. The library just kind of stays there consistently. And it just publishes and it pushes it to all. You don't have to worry about like RSS feeds like you used to.
Oh gosh, that was the nightmare, is like making sure it got published to the right platform so people could actually hear it. And
Yeah, it's strange, and it goes straight to Spotify. I do an Anchor podcast for, like I said, everybody knows that I'm a huge nerd, but I've been trying to do one where that's where I was kind of like, okay, Techlandia, nobody's gonna listen to Techlandia, but a lot more people listen to Techlandia. I've done like 9 episodes of a baseball basketball card podcast, and I was just proud that I got like 120 people to listen to it. And that was like 9 episodes. But I can see that all on Anchor. And it's just amazing how Anchor just, it's on Spotify. Like you just put it on Anchor, your podcast is on Spotify, just like that. It's crazy. It's so cool. And so I suggest that if you, I forget who asked me the other day. Somebody asked me, I think a principal asked me and DM'd me, and you're always welcome to DM me, and said, what's that app for podcasting? And I said, Anchor. Anchor's the one you use. So super simple.
I like that. You get the email notifications when it's been published to those different platforms, which is great. I can't see any flaws really in Anchor unless you want to do some like high end editing of your podcast. And otherwise, I mean, you're going to need to do that and just dump it in anyways. And that's like a drag and drop.
It is. It's drag and drop. It's really nice. You can do it from a browser. So you can use Chromebooks, right? So, I mean, you can use Chromebooks, you can use iOS. So it really works. In fact, when I've been recording my sports card podcast, which if you want to check it out, is called the Group Break Podcast, because that's like gambling for 50-year-old men when you're in the quarantine and you pick teams and try and get cards and all sorts of things. But the Group Break Podcast, it's so smooth. And then you can just drag stuff over. You put the bumper in once, you drag it up, you can move it around. It's really easy, a lot easier than doing, I mean, I like GarageBand, of course, but a lot easier than doing GarageBand. So we'll check it out. I think we can probably easily take our Zoom call, take the audio, put it right into the library, and it's just there in Anchor. And the thing about that Scott and I don't like about Podomatic, not that I'm trying to be anti-Podomatic, is just that as we went on years and years, like the storage for the old podcast kind of sit there, and then they keep charging you. So I kind of told them, I said, that's kind of a diminishing return. It doesn't make me want to, like, every year that my podcast kind of gets more successful or more listens, I have to pay for more bandwidth and storage. It just doesn't seem, that seems like an old fashioned thing nowadays, right? Anchor doesn't do any of that.
Yeah, no, I think it feels like it's hard to get ahead. It's almost like you're living on credit cards trying to get ahead on Podomatic. And, you know, thankfully Podomatic was there, because at the time it was a great platform to push your message out and really podcast. But, now it just didn't change with the time, in a sense.
Yeah, and they try. Like, it was easy for me to put the new episode onto Spotify, the new Techlandia. I had to just click a couple buttons, though. But with Anchor, you don't have to do any of that. And I think it goes onto all the formats, like the Google Play Store. It goes everywhere. So I really think that if you are looking to try podcasting, and we'll give you some other tips for Hour of Code coming up in a second, but I think if you're looking to podcast, just play around with Anchor for about 10 minutes, and I think you'll be able to understand it. It doesn't.
Yeah, I think even if you want to get advertising, right, John, you can like add that in there, things like that.
Right. Stuff that was like rubbing two sticks together back in 2013, 2012.
Yeah, we can make money off a podcast?
Really? I didn't know that. I never did. I always just paid money for mine because it was fun, right? It was fun. So
anyway. I still remember like like one of the late night talk show hosts saying, you know, things you'll never hear, podcast millionaire. And I think that's not true anymore, though.
I think
podcasts have like turned the corner on that.
I know, when you see all the people that have done podcasts, it's amazing, right? Like, I know that Gary Vee does his podcast, and he's been a huge influence on the sports card collecting community. He's really looked to that as an investment, and that really pumped life into the sports cards. Like, He has a whole thing going. So yeah, I think that there's some merit to podcast now. So anyway, that's not why we're doing this one.
Now that we left it, John, now there's merit.
Right when we left it right at the perfect time, but it started to become popular. We were already sick of it.
We're that far ahead of things.
Yeah, right. We were ahead of things. Scott, what is your okay? So we'll always. We're going to preface the new Techlandia. It doesn't have to be an app. And remember, I am iPad Sammy in a former life, but I'm also just John Samuelson on Twitter. So it could be also a website. And I think Scott's going to give us a website.
And are we auditioning other band members? Are we, is this it?
No, this is it. This is just it. This is us for, this is it for a little while. But we do want to say that I did get some people that actually did listen and said, hey, we'd like to come on the show. And so if you do have something of value, and you know what we're really talking about, I think that what Scott and I learned from the olden days of like 8 years ago was that people will be really nice to you to get on your podcast, but then they're kind of using you as a stepping stone and they just kind of want you as a platform or whatever. And we don't really have a platform right now because we don't know who's listening, but we just want honest people to come on here. Like if you're looking to become edgy famous and like just kind of be fake friends with us, we don't want fake friends. We want real friends. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's what we want. And there's
some other podcasts if you want to be edgy famous.
That's right. Just start your own podcast like every edgy famous person has now. So anyway, but yeah, we would love for people. So if you do, you can always reach out to us on the Twitters. I am John Samuelson. But maybe I'll check the iPad Sammy account. I think I can still get in there.
I'm sure you can.
All right. So what was your, Scott, you're talking about my favorite subject, I think, right? You're going to give the website with my favorite subject?
Yeah. So I was brought attention to this by a really fantastic young teacher in my district. And he said, check out 99 Math. And I was like, okay, let me check it out. And it's nothing like earth-shattering new. And it's an at 99 Math game on the Twitters. But it's kind of that same Kahoot GameKit style format, except for it has pre-packaged different math skills, basic skills, which for me, I'm seeing one of the kind of the downfalls of last year's COVID response is that I have students that are struggling with just their basic math facts. And so I was looking for a different platform to push them into that was engaging, that held their attention, that was play-based. And we're having fun with this so far, John.
It looks
cool. We've been using it a short time, but we're having fun with it.
So it's funny because I had a conversation with one of check this out, Scott. Here's a fun fact this year. Do you know that I have a student teacher this year?
Do you?
I do. And I've never been in the same room with him. Right. So anyway, but we were talking on the phone and it's funny because we were just, you know, and he's a shout out to Evan Churchill, fifth grade teacher at the Flex Online School in the Beaverton School District. But he's really good because he'll actually kind of listen to me and take it. He'll ask for advice, which I think is great. And so one of the things that we talked about was we really were talking about just as we're doing this online stuff, how kids, it's either like math goes to like, I don't know, we were even talking about like investigations back in like the late 90s where it was just all problem solving and using different methods to solve math. But then there wasn't enough, like sometimes you just need to have practice. Like you need kids to actually just sit there and memorize multiplication facts. And there's no cool way about it. They're not going to write a book like teach multiplication facts like a pirate. There's going to be no inspirational book for that. It's just going to have to be, sometimes you just kind of have to go back to, you know, it's like we go one with a pendulum either swings too far both ways. So now that I'm looking at 99 Math, I just looked at it real quick. I was hoping it wouldn't, you know, shout out something at me or play some loud video. But it looks really cool, and I think it might be exactly what we're talking about. So we'll definitely give it a try, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, super simple. You show the code to the kids. The kids go to the website, punch in the code. They're part of the game. It's three rounds of 30 seconds. And Preston Trebus was the one who showed that to me from Irvine, and just a great young teacher. And I think he's actually written a book too. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah, I know.
Those book writers, I tell you. That's cool. Well, it looks good. And so here, you know what? I'll check that one out. And then we'll give a holler back in a couple, because we'll have 2 weeks to try it before winter break.
Yeah, I think our classes should try it together, John.
I think we should, actually. We did one, Scott and I did one nice hangout together, just kind of on a fun Friday. It was pretty awesome. We used some GimKit, and Scott has the fun Friday way more dialed in than I do. I usually go to the kids should see this, .com and then just find some cool videos. But we've been really stuck on
the floor has lava, or the floor is lava.
I try and get them a pretty decent variety, of just videos. We've been really onto like magnet videos, where we've been watching magnet just for science and stuff like that. And then we've also been, I did, because somebody said, hey, can you play like a funny cat video? So then I did a funny cat video, so I played that too. But and we've been doing a lot of,
isn't that what the internet's for, John?
Yeah, that is right. I think it's fun just to sit. I mean, really, at this point, you're looking for anything to give kids time in a hangout to just kind of be silly a little bit. And It goes with the whole theme of Global School Play Day, right? Sometimes you just need to play, right? So how is Global, by the way, real quick, I know it's not on our little sheet, but how is Global School Play Day going? And can you give us any more information?
Well, we're Global School Play Day is still happening. It may be Global School and Homeschool Play Day.
Yeah, right.
This coming up year. I don't know if we'll be out of lockdown. We're getting locked down tonight at midnight when we're recording this podcast. But John, there's nothing stopping play. It's just the kind of play that's going to happen. It's going to be a little bit unique and different this year because you can't have that group play. But we still have teachers so excited about this, signing up. Gosh, I was looking at the list yesterday and just looking at the different countries from around the world that are signing up for this. And just, again, just, how in the world do they know about it? Number one. And number two, it's because of word of mouth. This is truly a grassroots effort that has spread around the world, and it continues to go. And, you know, if we can get to 1 million kids this year playing, fantastic.
Right. Yeah. I think it's cool. I know I'm desperately trying to get my Minecraft club, and it seems like it's caught in the bureaucratic red tape of the Beaverton School District for some reason. I'm like, just let the kids download it on their Chromebooks. Come on, man. I mean, you know, it's like They can't get to the Play Store or whatever. If you want more information about Global School Play Day, you can just type in Global School Play Day on the Facebook, a Mark Zuckerberg production, and join the page, and you will be completely informed. There's people that join it every single day.
So every single day. Every single day.
Speaking
from around the world. Right, Macedonia. Believe it or not, Macedonia is one of our like massive Global School Play Day country. Like almost, I think their whole country is almost signed up.
Oh wow, that's cool, Massa Play Day.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of stuff, I will just say that my good thing this week, and I'll breeze through it a little bit because I talked about it last time, is just remember Hour of Code Week is coming up, and I think the best thing to say is just do it. It's not hard if you don't even know anything about
coding. Said by the guy from Beaverton, right. Just do it.
Just do it. Like Nike is right in our backyard. But I mean, seriously, Scratch is what we'll start with tomorrow. I am not worried about it. At 10 o'clock, I will have probably all four of our fifth grades invited and be able to try. You know, they can come on if they want to. And so that's probably about 100 kids. But I'm not really worried about it that much because it's so easy. They have all the stuff. I'll probably just put the kids into breakout rooms and go and visit them and let them help each other, to be honest with you. That's the easiest way. If you can do that, I think you get them all. I'll demo a little for them, tell them what I want them to do. We'll probably do animate a name. That's probably the easiest one to start with. It's the most fun. Doesn't have to be their name and whatever. And then
Do they have to have accounts to get into Scratch?
You don't even have to have accounts to get into Scratch. That's the thing, right? I mean, they won't be able to save their project then, but right, they don't have to have accounts. You can just have them kind of goof around, and then after they goof around, and if they just lose the Animate Your Name project, and that's the one they don't save, and then they're like, hey, I want to start saving stuff, then you can help them sign up and go that way.
And no. Can they single sign in with like Google and things like that yet?
We always had a little clever spot for signing on, but I'm never sure if it worked with our district, if there was some switch flipped or whatever, but I just tell kids to get their own accounts, but there are the school accounts too. So that are handy. So I don't even, you know what? That's how little I worry about it. I just don't even care anymore. Like if they're usually like, oh, I've got an account or whatever, but I think they do have they probably do have single sign on.
The only thing I really thought like, you know, the school account was good for was when the kid forgot their password.
Yes, right.
You can save them. Otherwise, they just make another account.
Right, right. So then, yeah, that's, I think, a good thing. And I think a couple of the other things that I'm going to look at is I will just go where they take me afterwards. But I think that microbits are a fun thing that you could do online. And they have the online simulator, so you don't actually even need a microbit. You could do some coding with that. So I think the microbits is a possibility. I think the creating your own Google logo, like going to the Google CS for teachers is always a good one. And I say just do it. You don't need a lot of extra practice. I think that you could probably, I mean, I know that we teach fifth and fourth grade, but you can probably have a kid teach it, to be honest, if you wanted to. But I'm too much of a hot dog. I want to be like, oh yeah, look at this, you know.
You want a 360 dunk for everybody?
That's right. I do. I want to show off my skills. So anyway, but yeah. So anyway, don't forget Hour of Code. And like I said, that's one where you could always seriously reach out to me. Like I've been offering people, I'm like, you know, I do so much Scratch stuff. You could just tell me a time. I could beam in for 15 minutes and get you started. I don't mind.
John, are you available tomorrow at 12:45?
Right. That's right. I'd totally come into your class. So anyway, what's your good thing for the week, Scott Bedley?
I'm going to add on to your good thing, and then I'll talk about my good thing really fast. But Minecraft has a really simple Hour of Code lesson that's Illagers versus Villagers, and it's got six different coding activities inside there, three in the Villagers and Illagers, and then they're also tying together. You know, like let's have some discussions. People don't need to be enemies with each other. Let's bringing in some of the social aspects that are happening in our world right now inside this Minecraft world to create conversations about the real things that are happening. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you know, I'm a big Minecraft fan and I like Minecraft Education Edition. It's a free download. And if your district most likely has something associated with Minecraft, the kids can play for free as well. And you can open up a world for them. But I think it's a cool one to check out.
Yeah, I like their stuff. They're fun. They have little signs you can go through. We did it last year for sure. In the old
John, but my real good thing right now is new teachers, because you know this time of the year is hard. this is kind of a burnout time of the year for veterans. And I always think like for our new teachers, this is the tough like downward into like oh gosh. Mm-hmm. Like you're starting to know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. You're starting to figure out that the kids know you don't know. And it's just a really tough time of year for new teachers. But the good thing is I've seen new teachers in this circumstance. They don't know the other reality except for their own experience. And so I've seen new teachers doing some amazing things with kids to try to engage them, whether it's online or if it's in a hybrid model inside of a classroom, or if even it's full-time back. I mean, I have friends that are new teachers that are full-time back working with kids and small groups of kids with shields and all this stuff. And I'm just thinking like, you're kind of my hero right now. I'm working 12-hour days. You're working, I don't even know, 16-hour days. And you're in, you know, I'm all virtual, John. And they're there like dealing with all this live. And I just think like, wow. And I think there's a predominant number of new teachers put in those circumstances because us old vets and our health issues, you know, got maybe the first option of working virtually from home. Mm-hmm. And so I just think about those new teachers and how great they are and all the things that they're bringing to our profession. And I can't help but be happy about what I'm seeing out of some of these great young kid teachers.
That's cool. If they can persevere through this year,
right
through it, and then they've still kind of got the love, then they can make it through anything. That's what I say. You know, it's just so hard that first year of teach. I mean, I just remember my first year of teaching. It was just such a joke.
And I'm kind of going off the cuff here, but my other good thing is we have very few days left of Betsy DeVos.
Thank you, Betsy DeVos, for having so few days left in your tenure. I would like to thank Betsy DeVos for making Arne Duncan look like a competent, sane person.
Right.
I never thought I would say that, but
Not on the old Techlandia. That would never happen.
No, I know, but thank you, Betsy. I think I still have that bumper where I have like the Arne Duncan, and then I'm like talking like I still have, that's like still the promo on my YouTube channel is like, this is Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education. Like I just used to beat on Arne Duncan just so badly, so badly. That's actually one of the podcasts I left up on Podomatic was the one where it was the one where Kuros was George Kuros was Arne Duncan, and then I was Sal Khan asking the questions because I watched Sal Khan interview Arne Duncan. I was so mad that he didn't ask him just lopping up softball questions to Arne Duncan. I was like, okay, here, let's do that. And Kuros did such a better job answering than Arne
Duncan. John, I got to name that tune for you.
Okay.
Don't know what you got till it's gone. Who's the band?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Cinderella.
That's so right. Anyway. Don't know what you got till it's gone.
You know what, Scott? I think I had that single for
Did you?
Until it's gone. The single and underrated the 45 version on the cassette.
That's cool. Yeah. You wouldn't have to rewind it very far.
I know. That was the bad part. You know, you can't just hit the little one button on your button anymore. But thank you, Betsy DeVos, for making Arne Duncan look competent, and thank you for I know you really wanted to destroy schools and destroy public education and do the voucher thing, but I think you were so incompetent and people portrayed you so poorly on like Saturday Night Live as such an incompetent person.
That's when you know you've really made it badly. When you're part of the satire on Saturday Night Live.
I mean, they just nailed her. Like Betsy DeVos, I mean, she was always the deer in headlights bit on there. But yeah, thanks, Betsy DeVos. And we'll miss you.
Not.
Not really. But thanks. I you did the one thing that I never thought could be done. You made Arne Duncan. But then I hear about some things that Arne Duncan.
And it wasn't on the basketball court.
That's right. And it wasn't. Right. And Betsy DeVos, you know what? You really did a poor job doing the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. Where was that? That was my highlight of my Arne Duncan career every year. And you didn't even play in that. I don't even think you know what that.
Spud Webb dunked on her.
I'm not sure she could spell NBA, to be honest with you. Unless she's trying to rip people off of their student loans for college.
Yeah.
You know? Betsy DeVos. All right. So there's our rant. Our rant is Betsy DeVos. You know what? I don't know. I don't know even what to say. I never even bothered talking about you just because you just even weren't even worth the time. No. Hey, Scott, speaking of grumpy old teachers, which I did also leave on the Podomatic feed, I left all the
Is that a podcast?
Grumpy old teachers? Right. We should think about renaming this one, but we'll just go a different format. What do you think about people? Like, this is kind of like my second podcast in my 50s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
So I was thinking, at 50, you're pretty much done. I mean, we're pretty much on the downhill slope. We're just counting the days basically now. So,
I'm like pulling them off the calendar.
That's right. That's right. I'm like, when am I
really thin too?
Right. Know, right. Thinning like my hairline. I wanted to get, I started to watch, it kind of got me, I've been watching so much YouTube and I was watching,
Megan Plays.
Radiohead was really,
Okay.
What I was watching yesterday, I think, and Tom York, and I got the idea. I said, you know what? We should start giving a shout out to just old people in their 50s. And hopefully it won't be white guys, right? Because we're two white guys, but I mean, we're trying for that equity here. But, I was thinking the first person I'd like to give a shout out to in their 50s that still kind of is creating and doing things is, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters and formerly of Nirvana. I mean, did you see them on Saturday Night Live?
Wow. I don't know what to say about them except for they're no Rolling Stones in their 50s. Oh, maybe they are. I don't know.
I don't know. Right. I kind of get new respect for things. It's funny. It's also funny how when I watch YouTube, I've been watching, you know, you go into the feed of suggested feeds or whatever. And I haven't been I find that during COVID, I've been going back to things that are kind of familiar. And like Breaking Bad, I've been watching a little bit, and I'll always watch The Office. But I've been watching little snippets of The Wire. And it's funny how, and I love The Wire. Did you ever watch The Wire?
I never watched The Wire, but I've been going back all the way back to Rat Patrol. Right. And if you know that show, you know you're over 50.
So anyway, the Wire I've been watching, and it's just funny how, like, as I get older, my opinion, I watch these little snippets of like characters, and it's just like, right, your opinions kind of change on who's like a great person and whatever. And anyway, The Wire is a great show. Scott will never watch one of the greatest movies, I think, of the 2010s, which is Boyhood. And now he's just nagging me on it. But Boyhood's a good movie. But it does show a good little arc there. But I don't, right. I think if I
watched Infinity Wars.
I think if I watched Boyhood, you probably shouldn't watch it during COVID because, it's probably too much. It was too much when there was no COVID, you know. Yeah. So don't watch it now, but watch it after. Hopefully,
so it's uplifting.
But it is kind of it's depressing and uplifting all at the same time. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss 3 hours of your life goodbye. But anyway, so that's a good one. But yeah, so I'm going to give a shout out to Dave Grohl. He did a good Times Like These. He did it really slow, and then they sped up. And then shout out to Pat Smear. Pat Smear, the bassist? Mm-hmm. Like, he played, and he looked so, like, fit in that, like, I was like, wow, Pat Smear looks good. He's got to be older than 50. Yeah, he's 61, just up there with the Foo Fighters. And we saw them, my wife and I saw them the last time we've seen them every time they're in Portland. And they just put on a great show. So anyway, I've got to respect people. Of course, we did see him the one time where he did break his leg, kind of like an old person. And then he was on the throne the whole time. That was the
first. It wasn't his hip, though.
Oh, was his hip, probably.
Yeah. It was not his hip.
It was his hip. It's even worse. So good for him for fixing his damaged hip and then coming out and actually playing another show 2 years later. So Dave Grohl, we're looking for inspirational people still kicking some butt in their 50s. Just like now,
Zach De La Roca is probably close to his 50s too.
Oh my gosh, that would be.
I'm not kidding, John. I'd love for you to search that up because I know he went to high school with a friend of mine at University High School in Irvine. And so he's got to be very close.
Oh my gosh. He's turning 51 on January 12th, 2021.
Boom. There you go, John.
He's my same year.
And talk about how sad COVID was. I was supposed to come up there with you.
Oh my gosh.
Go see Rage Against the Machine in, what was that, April or May? April?
Oh my gosh. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't, because I still have the Alaskan Airlines credit.
Oh my gosh, right. We that took a lot for me to get those tickets. Those things were a hot number. I was so pumped when I got those.
Oh yeah, oh my gosh, that's absolutely one of my favorites. So there's another guy in his 50s, unbelievably in his 50s.
Wow.
Me, I put on like the COVID-19 50. The spring, John, I was like muscular. I was like Tim Bedley. Like I had I was eating pine needles. I had enough time to exercise. Fall comes and all these expectations and all this layers of stuff backed at it. And I was just like, oh, I don't have time now anymore. Yeah. It's depressing.
I was doing those Ironman triathlons right before COVID. And now I'm just like, you know, I was like,
I was doing them in COVID.
Well, on that front, today I did get back on the Peloton. I took a week break from the Peloton because during COVID, I actually have been. That's the most depressing part about being 50, I think. I still just want to eat whatever I want because I'm 50 and I'm like, I'm at the end.
Bag of Reese's.
Right.
Minis, sure.
Right. I want my Reese's peanut butter cup. So I'll go bike 10 miles and then nothing really happens, you know? So that I got depressed for this last week and I was like, oh, but I jumped back on today. So bike 10 miles today.
It's funny. I think it's like calories multiplied times 50 when you eat over 50.
Right.
And no matter how many calories you burn, it's like, divisible by 50. So it's like, well, however that math works.
All right. So anyway, here, so we'll try and keep our podcast. Well, I have no idea how long this one is, but we do want to say that we will consistently do these on Sunday night. We're going to wait until after Sunday night football, or if the game's a blowout, then we'll just start early. And then good game, by the way, good showing tonight, Denver Broncos. We give you
completed some
effort.
Passes.
Right. We would give you an S plus if we were in the 1970s on your report card. So anyway, but we will continue to put these out then, and then we'll record them. I'll put it up and it'll be ready for you on late Sunday night, Monday morning, and then we'll do it all over again. And remember to ask any questions. But if you want to hit us up on the Twitters, Scott's Twitter handle is?
I'm Scott Each, or S-C-O-T-T-E-A-C-H. Or you can hit me up at Global School Playday, GS Playday. Also, those two Twitter accounts I'm on fairly as much as I need to.
There you go. Right. I know Scott probably has like 18 Twitter accounts that he currently is managing, but those are the two to hit him up at. And you can hit me up just at John Samuelson.
You can iPad. No iPad Sammy.
Okay. I'll look it
Bring
up.
It back, I'll John.
IPad Sammy. I might've had to like clear my cookies, and I probably can't get back into that account. So I don't know, but
it's so retro now.
Oh, I know. Maybe I should fire that one back up. But, and yeah, just reach out to us if you want, and we'll tweet the stuff out. We'll also tweet the links to the 99 Math and the Anchor. So we'll tweet some of the stuff, our resources out from the show. We'll just tweet them from our.
And we've got a lot more to share, John, right? I mean, this is just the very tiny tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I guess what I just want to make sure is that if you do enjoy the show and you do want some. You know, you want a sympathetic ear, you can reach out to us if you'd like to get on the show. We always would like to hear some other perspectives, and we'll move over to Anchor coming in 2021. So these will be the last few. Then we'll probably kill old Podomatic. They'll be sad to lose my money, but that's the way it is. Some things happen.
They've been happy to take it, John. Yeah. They've been happy to take it.
I mean, as Bruce Hornsby used to say, that's just the way it is. Some things will never change, except you got to change, or else, you know, that's why they shouldn't do standardized tests and teacher evaluations this year. But that will never change because, you know, education. Because education.
John, thanks for having me on with you tonight.
All right. Well, we will see you next time then, too. Don't act like this is the last time. All right. And we will catch everyone on the flip side.